Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you join us now as we enter into devotion? I would like to have have a song by June Rochelle, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. If we could get someone to read the scripture. Brother Jefferson, are you able to read it all?
Yes, actually I am. Thank you, Dr. Susie.
You could able to read the scripture. Dr. Nooks, Brother Lester, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, would you start us off with prayer tonight? Our focus tonight,
sure,
again is on when all hope is lost, what do you do? I'm going to start the song off with June Rochelle, His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tonight's reading is our foundational text found in the 69 book of Psalms. We'll be reading verses 1 through 3. This is the New Living Translation. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I cannot find a foothold to stand on. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. I've read this in the 69th book of Psalms, verses 1 through 3. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word.
Amen. Brother Lester.
Are you there?
Brother Lester.
Yes, ma'am.
We're waiting on you to pray.
Father, I thank you for today. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven and earth or under the earth, God. We thank you for your powerful Holy Spirit that you placed within us and made available to those of us who have not yet made your Son Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. God, I thank you for the hope of his return that you placed within our heart so that we can live intentionally for you. God, I thank you for all of your goodness, God. I thank you for your purposes being fulfilled in our lives and for you placing within us the will to serve others, to serve you by serving others, God. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We're so excited to be here tonight, this Tuesday, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Tonight, again, our topic is When All Hope Is Lost, What Do You Do? And Brother Jefferson read our foundational text, which is Psalm 69, 1 through 3. I want to take a moment to say Happy Valentine's, everyone. And before I move on further, I want to get a roll call. In doing so, Dr. Nix, would you be prepared to close us out in prayer tonight? All right. Who's on the roll tonight? Who's on the line?
Lester Carver.
Yes. Lester Carver.
Eric Jefferson.
Brother Eric. Brother Nix.
Brother Carter.
Say? Okay. Brother Carter. Okay. All right. And so that's what we have starting off tonight.
All right. And Dr.
Nooks.
Susie, I'm Dr. Susie.
Yes.
If it's okay with you, I will go as long as I can, and I'll share with the group what. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, let's just play it by ear. We'll do it together. You go ahead and wherever
okay.
we need to pick up, we'll pick
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
So let's get started here. This is February the 14th. Brother Jefferson has been our instructor, done an excellent job in the midst of trials that he's experiencing, physical trials, and the Lord is keeping him even yet. Foundational text,
yes,
again,
is
69, so Psalm 1 through 3. The first week was last week. We had a powerful time in the Lord as we examine, know that there is a God. How many of us today can be a witness to say that we know there's a God? And there are people out there who are listening to us tonight who are going like, yeah, I sort of do, but I really don't. I'm not sure. Well, we talked about that last week to give people real clear understanding that there is a God. When you can walk outside and you can see the glory of the creation, there is a God. When you know what God has done in your life, how he has brought you this far, there is a God. We talked about that. And so tonight we're going to move forward. And once we understand when our hope is lost, the first thing we do is know that there is God. But the second thing we got to do is to seek the God that we know. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to begin in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the 6th through the 9th verse. And Brother Eric, would you read that once more, and I'm going to turn it over to you as long as you're able to go ahead and give leadership, and I'll have you back.
All
I got
right.
your back. I got your back.
I appreciate that, Dr. Susan. So a foundational text, and it's quite striking, and it reads, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck." And I don't know how many of you have had the floodwaters up to your neck, but I know I have. "Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold to stand on. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is dry and parched. My eyes are swollen from weeping, waiting for God to help me." And how many of you have been there? I mean, how many of you have cried so many tears in a situation waiting on the Lord that you just didn't have any more to cry?
Look,
I mean,
Brother
you were all cried out.
But that
yeah.
image is so vital, that image. How many times do we watch on the television when the news is showing how the floodwaters are rushing and cars are being taken under and just cast into the river? It's going so quickly. It's just overwhelming. And so we got to understand what that looks like. We got to get a mental picture of what that's like.
Yeah, and the force of that water, that, you know, a foot of water can displace a car and move it. Just a foot of running water can displace an automobile and move it down the current. And so think about, you know, 5 or 6 feet. I mean, up to my neck. I'm 6'3", so if I'm up to my neck, I'm, you know, that's 5 feet of water, 5.5 feet of water. And I don't, you know, I don't know how many of you had to learn to swim the hard way, where you jumped in and couldn't swim, and it was either sink or drown, swim or drown. That's how I learned, and I remember that vividly, the water going into my mouth and into my lungs, and the fear that was in me until I realized that, boy, you better start moving those arms and kicking those feet. And so, I mean, that's real, and we need to let our studio audience know that is real. Those are real. That the floodwaters up to my neck, that we're sinking so deep in the mire and the quicksand that we can't find a foothold. That the devil is chasing us and has us so bound up that we can't find a foothold. That solid rock, which is Christ Jesus, that we can't find. Because we're blinded by our tears, we're blinded by the things that are going on, and that we cannot concentrate on God. And so this night we want to seek ye the Lord. Dr. Sue is right.
And
first is know that the Lord is God, and now seek ye the Lord. Yes.
The other image that I think that jumps up at me as I'm thinking about this, I don't know, a young lady was very dear to my heart who is a friend. She was going to a high school prom, and the waters unexpectedly came up, and it took her car out, and then she, of course, drowned. See, and I think the issue is floodwaters are such that the prayer changes from, "Lord, how you doing? Thank you, Jesus," to "help."
Yes.
You don't have time to be doing some long thought out prayer. This is an emergency situation. It's a live or die situation. Floodwaters are no joke. They are such that people die. This is urgent. And we need to understand what we're talking about here when we look at Isaiah when he's talking about this. This is
absolutely
urgent.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And so tonight we want to start off. Dr. Nooks, do you have Isaiah 55:6-9? Can you read that for us, please?
Just a minute. Okay.
Isaiah 55:6-9.
"Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So, Dr. Nooks, in reading that, what's the first thing that grabs you when you read that passage?
See how powerful and big God is, and the fact that we need to seek him, or to seek God, and call and seek him now.
Now. Right now.
Yes.
Yeah, while he is near. So God is near to us. And there are times when we think that because we don't get the answer that we want in our prayers or in those situations, that we think God is, you know, miles and miles and millions of miles away from us. And it says that he's near. Seek him while he is yet near. Find him. Look for him. Search for him. Seek for him. Does that require a little bit of work on our part?
I like the way you transcended from the initial scripture in Psalms where the psalmist is talking about the flood waters to looking at Isaiah, who is talking about a people who he's saying here, starting at verses 6, turn to the Lord before it's too late. You know, oftentimes we'll wait until we're in the middle of the flood waters to start asking for help.
Won't we?
And so,
yeah,
you know, it's too late then. And y'all forgive me, I was on the wrong scripture at the time when I said Isaiah. I was thinking about Psalms. But sometimes we're in the middle of the situation and we're asking for God's help when we should have been preparing. We should have been having our Bible study. We should have been talking to, you know, repenting of our sins. We should have been trusting God all along the way. But guess what? God says to us, turn to me. Meaning that if you're going in one direction, turn away from what you're doing back to me.
Right.
You know, that means I'm still available. I'm still open. I'm still here for you. Because that's who God is. He says, I am the Lord, your God. Turn to me. But the other key that I really like you to talk about, it says, while he's still ready to help you.
Yes. Yeah. So we know
what
that.
What you saying with that? You saying we can't always just come to God when we get ready? I'm doing an error.
We can. We can come to God when we get ready. And we need to be ready, and we need to be seeking God, and not only when things are going bad, we need to be seeking him all the time while he is yet near. But, you know, there are those instances where folks can do wrong for so long, and they can grieve God's spirit. And God can take an action of hard discipline, I'll call it, against those folks. And remember when Moses was trying to lead the people out of Egypt? And there were a number of occasions where Moses had to step in and pray for the people because God was getting ready to do away with all of them. And even told him, he said, get out of the way, Moses. Let me do away with all of them and make you a great nation. And Moses fell down and said, no, Lord, don't do that, because if you do that, then the enemies, the Egyptians and the others, will think that you weren't mighty enough to do what you said you were going to do. And
right.
So we can play those games with God. You know, we playing games with God, and God is like, no, I need you to be authentic in your relationship with me. And not only that, it also says in there that, you know, turn to your God, for he will abundantly pardon you. And so when the person gets pardoned, what does that mean?
Forgiven.
Right. I mean, it's forgiven. It's like it never happened, right?
Never happened. Like it never happened. But, yeah, but the question I was asking you, Brother Eric, that I was still wanting to get some feedback on is, what does it mean while he's still ready? Doesn't that give a condition that there's going to be a time when God is not going to allow us to try anymore? This time of judgment. And I think sometimes people will say, you know, people will, their children will die or somebody will die, and they say, oh, let's pray for him. You know, the reality
is, you need to be praying for yourself.
It's a bunch of people. It's a bunch of people on the line. I'd like to hear your perspectives, but what? Once you die,
can it's
you hear
too
me?
Late.
Brother Lester?
Yeah, can you hear me? Okay. You know where it says in verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near, right? Well, we know that God is three things. He's omnipresent, he's present everywhere, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, and he's omniscient. He is all-knowing, right? So God is always near. But then it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. While we are alive is while you may find him. After you are expired, after you have breathed your last breath, he may not be found of you anymore. So while we are breathing, seek him. Know that he's near. He's present everywhere. So there is no place you're going to be where you're not going to be able to reach out and grab him, and know that that desire to do so even comes from him.
See, and I think we don't realize or think, Brother Lester, about the fact that there's judgment coming. And so we got to seek God while he can be found, because when judgment comes, then it's too late. It's too late.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we can't do anything more if we've passed on from this world. So, you know, saying prayers after the person is gone, you know, it's done. Whatever he did in this body is what he's held accountable for. And some people don't really like to hear that. And it, you know, are there other people on the line who have a different perspective? Because I know some people who believe that you can continue to pray and then things can change.
This is Eric. Brother Carver said, once you take your last breath on this side,
that's it.
It's all accounted for. Before
and
you
that's
can't
why
go
we
back
have
to God.
Be
and,
intentional. That's right, Brother Eric. That's why we got to be intentional, because when we're in the floodwaters, we are in a dire situation. This is like survival or die. So we don't have time to be playing with God.
Well, and you know, the other aspect that I think people overlook is that it's not simply the negative. When we talk about judgment, judgment isn't just punishment or what you do wrong or don't do correctly. Judgment is also the rewards that you do or do not receive, right? And God is concerned about your rewards. If you read through Matthew 6, you'll see over and over and over, he is concerned about your rewards. And if we don't live intentionally now, we are not going to be prepared to live in eternity with a full reward or a partial reward. And some of us are going to go into eternity with no reward. It'll be like being the eternally poor. You'll be in heaven, yes, that's a great thing, but with no reward. That's unthinkable if you've lived most of your life as a Christian.
And Brother Lester, I know there's some people who say, well, as long as I get in heaven, you know, and I'm with you. I want to be at the Lord's feet no matter what.
It's faulty theology that makes eternal poverty acceptable.
And our goal is to do our best for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And I really love the my thoughts are completely different from your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heaven is as higher, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And what that speaks to me is that God already knows He's looking to me and my feeble attempt of service and worship to him. And even though his thoughts are so much higher than mine, he does accept my feeble attempt at worship when it's authentic and true. And if I'm seeking God, it needs to be authentic and true. Because, and all of you have been around a while, know that, you know, I really believe that part of is that as God made man and breathed the breath of life into him, he put a piece of himself into man. And that's the part that's always restless in man, trying to get back to trying to find something to fill that void other than God. And it's useless. It's futile, because you're never satisfied. You can't fill it with your spouse or a mate. You can't fill it with your children. You can't fill it with your job. You can't fill it with a hobby. You can't fill it with things. And when you set around and come to the realization and get connected to that peace, life begins to go a whole lot smoother. Doesn't mean, folks, listen, doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems, because Christ assured us that we were going to have problems until the day we left this plane.
Amen.
But you Amen. Find a way to manage that and to live within that and seeking the Lord while he can yet be found. And we're praying to the Lord. And now I want to look at. Yes.
Go ahead, Jay.
This is James. This is James. I just wanted to make 2 points. First of all, while he can be found, I think it has a lot to do with us. Naturally, God is there, but if we're not really seeking God, if we don't really believe God is there, then we can't see God. We can't experience God. So the lesson last week was about, you know, knowing that God is, and I think that this is a part of the problem, and also why sometimes we don't see God, because we really don't think God knows more than we do. God is more powerful. God's ways are beyond our understanding, because we think we understand everything.
And shame on us.
Yeah. And so we don't seek God sometimes because we think we have the answer.
And
it's a shame, but I think it's necessary sometimes for us to have a thorn in the flesh like Paul did, and to realize that there's some things that we can't figure out. And sometimes we have to be knocked to our knees before we look up to God. And that's a shame, but that is sometimes necessary. But people won't necessarily seek God if they don't really feel like God is the God that has an understanding greater than ours, a God that can deliver, a God that can make a way. Because we have been lulled into believing that we can do it, we can figure it out. We don't need God, or Satan tells us that there is no God. We can't think or imagine God. It's too hard for us to imagine, because our little brains have to be able to figure things out and understand it completely. So it's hard for us to take a step of faith and believe that there is a God that created the universe, that makes everything, that causes our blood to flow in our bodies, causes our hearts to beat, causes our big toe to hurt, and we feel it all over our body. God is amazing, and it's hard for us to understand that it's God that does that, and God is capable of doing these things. So it's hard for us to seek God if we don't understand who God is.
You know, amen. One of the things that comes to my mind when I read that part that says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, my ways are higher, right, and my thoughts are higher. And the point there is that we have a tendency as people to judge God. And when we get an answer from God, or when things happen that are beyond our comprehension or
there
that
you
affect
go.
Us extremely, the temptation to judge God as being unrighteous or unjust or not strong enough to do what he said he was going to do because we don't like the outcome is what we have to resist. The temptation to judge God is always going to push us away from seeking him, understanding he's near, but if we judge him, we're the ones pushing him away, and we're not going to seek him while he
Amen.
May be found. We're going to be pouting in
Amen.
Our corner until it's too late, and then we take that breath
Amen.
And instead of being restored, instead of coming to
Amen.
A full understanding and God giving us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, we're still going to be sitting in that corner pouting like the three-year-old until it's all over, and we're going to miss God because we judged him because we didn't like the outcome.
But
Amen.
Brother Lester, I love that. But I also remember Brother James tells this story over and over again about the woman who could never see herself as forgiven. And see, that's the other issue right here, is that God is so bit much bigger, and his thoughts, his ways are so much greater than ours. We can't fathom being forgiven sometimes. We can't fathom the fact that God would love us that much, because our understanding is so much limited. We're finite. But God's love is so unconditional. It's so huge. It's so much bigger, and that which we can't even fully grasp or understand. So when God did the work that he did on the cross, our faith and belief has to be in that, trusting what God has done, so that we can manifest the benefits of that and truly see the power of redemption and the work that was done. If we don't accept that, we demean the work that was done. We don't believe and we don't embrace all of what we don't understand and know about God, because it's way so much bigger than ours.
Yeah,
Amen.
This is Eric, and I absolutely, I always tell people who've heard me say this, that, we can't believe that it's just that simple. We can't believe that it's just that simple to ask Christ to come into our lives and take control and confess Christ as Savior, that we can be saved. We believe that there's more to it than that, and we also believe, because of our upbringing in this society, is that we have to do something to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
That everything that has value has to be earned and worked for and toiled and sweat and brow. And I used to be that way. I absolutely used to be that way until I got my spiritual
Amen.
Baptism, and Christ showed
wow.
me. He said, no, this has nothing to do with you. This is on me. If you accept me and the work that I've done and dying on the cross for you, if you accept that in me and diligently look to serve me,
come
the rest
on.
Of it.
But that's
good times, bad times,
Eric.
And different times.
But that seeking you're talking about, that has to be a sense of humility. We have churches today who think that church is about them. They think
yes.
church is a democracy. They think church, and it is not. That's why we got to seek God. If we're not seeking God, if we don't think we need to, there's something wrong with that. If we don't think we need to be asking God about how we operate, what we do, what our mission is, how we operate, everything fundamentally, something's wrong with that, because then we've turned inward. And it's about the kind of music we like to hear and the kind of program we want to see. This is not about God and what God is calling us to do in the midst of the community among his people, about growing. It's about how we want to have a religious service, and that's it, where there's no power. God's not even there. We're not seeking God in the midst of that, and God is not going to be there if we don't seek him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. There are a lot of places that are opening up on, Wednesdays and Sundays and Tuesdays and, hooping and hollering, and God ain't nowhere around.
Amen.
But God has another word for us in 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Amen.
That says, if my people were to call by my name, to humble themselves and pray and seek
Come
my
on.
Face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And that land, I want people to understand, that land does not mean just a physical plot of property. I take that land to mean to heal my broken heart, to bind up my wounds, to help me in my distress, to give me clear eyesight, to help me to have enough money to meet my months. You know, those are the things that God says that he will do. And there's a qualifier there. There's the piece you got to do. And God is saying, if you do your piece, and don't worry about my piece, just do your piece. And I'll take care of mine.
I have a question. Some things have to be understood in their context, right? And it seems here, when you look at the later verses in 16, that when God says my people, he's specifically talking to the children of Israel in the promised land. And I understand how the principle can apply, and I'm sure there are New Testament verses that say similar things, right? But in this context, he seems to specifically be talking to Israel because he refers to the temple.
That is true, but, Brother Lester, but once you became a child of God, you were grafted in. You were not separated anymore. So that same promise that he made to them in the Old Testament is relevant to you through the New Testament. Because now you are a child of God. You have been chosen by God. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and now God has brought you into the family. So that same promise that he made back then, which still stands true today, is good for you too. And for anybody that has accepted Christ.
Right. So as we look at this text, what was going on is Solomon had prayed, and he was given the assignment to build the temple. And what God was saying to him is that God would promise the fulfilling of the Davidic covenant and that it would be forever, but Solomon would only enjoy it depending on his obedience to God. See, there are all kind of blessings that we can receive as children of God, but the issue is we got a choice. We have a choice on whether or not we're, you know, if we, in any context, and this is what he's saying, if Solomon, if you mess up, this is what can happen. We can even see the referral. It goes back to, let me see, what's the referral scripture? I think it's Deuteronomy, no, 2 Corinthians. But I'll find it here in just a minute, and I'll pull it up. But what I was trying to say is that the promise is this. If the people, whenever they fall short, no matter where they are on the journey, because they did it so many times, but God was promising them, if you turn away from that sin, because the situations that happened in the past were plagues, things that would happen, no matter what it was, it talked about the devouring of the crops, if God's people, and that means those of us who are grafted, those of us who are believers, today as well as yesterday, Jesus is saying yesterday forever, if we call on the name of the Lord and we turn away from our sin, God is just to forgive us and to be present for us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Now, that's my understanding of it. And it says,
even until the end of time, right.
Yeah, until the end of time.
I think we, and Dr. Nooks, I need your help here, but I think we get so, when we read the word, we get so caught up in this legalistic and, oh, that was the Old Testament, so, you know, that doesn't refer to me. I'm living in the dispensation of grace, meaning Christ died for me and accept him, so I'm not concerned about that. But those same promises that he made in the Old Testament to his people still stand true for the people today that are his people.
Well, and he says that the covenant is forever.
It's not temporary. 2 Samuel 7:13 says that the covenant is forever from God's standpoint.
Right.
Solomon or anybody has to make the decision.
Here's the issue, though. The issue is this, is that when the greater sacrifice, when the greater became available after Calvary, right, the temple was obsolete. God allowed that place to be destroyed in 70 A.D. because if he didn't, his people would have continued offering blood sacrifices after the ultimate blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ was offered, right? Today, we get new grace and new mercy every day. We can individually go before the throne of God at any time. Back then, only one man, the high priest of the children of Israel, could go before the Lord once a year to atone for the sins of all the people, right? Every day we get that. And so it, things have changed, and they're different.
Brother Carver. And I hear you, and I understand that. I really do hear you. But here it says, if my people, it didn't say if my priest, it didn't say if my Levites, it said if my people, which are called by my name. It didn't specify one category of the people, it said all the people.
Yeah, that's
and as
true.
And Dr. Susie has said, the covenant is everlasting.
Yeah, because they had a common land. See, his people were given, they were given the land of Canaan. It was theirs, right? And the wall around it and the temple within it. And it was all theirs. And so when he's speaking about this specific place to these specific people, it's within a specific context. And we can take the principle and apply it today, but we have to be careful about not dragging something old into something new.
I'll accept that for you, but I'm dragging it with me everywhere I go because I'm his people. I consider myself his people.
Well, and this is what we need, but this is what we do need to understand that I agree with, is that the book says in Matthew the 52nd chapter, the 25th chapter, the 52nd verse, I'm turning to that right now. It said that the temple curtains was rent from top to bottom. When the temple curtains were rent from top to bottom, then the power of God came from the Holy of Holies to the holy place, and that broke down the barriers there. That broke down as it moved out from the holy place to the area of the Jews in the temple. And as it moved from the area of the Jews into the area where Israelites, of the Jew, the male Jews, and where it moved from there to the court in which there were all men and women, where it moved from that place to the port of the court of the Gentiles, all of these barriers were broken down, which meant,
amen,
we go to God directly. That has nothing to do with God telling God's people that he can call, that they can call on him at any time. We are not in a temple situation. We can go directly to God. And for ourselves, as we go to God, anytime we can turn from our sins, our wickedness, and say, God, help me. And so as we go through situations and circumstances where we're in the midst of the flood, where we're dealing with life's challenges, the promise that God has for us is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Turn away from your sin at any point in time and turn back to me, and I'll be there for you. Now, you have to do this before the time of judgment. As long as you can do this in your body, God is saying, come back to me. And that's the promise, not in just this scripture, but in every scripture. God is saying, I'm here, I will be with you until the end of time. And he always has his arms open for us to be received back into him.
Amen.
Amen. And so let me Psalms 40, 16 and 17. Anybody got that one?
Sure. 16
and 17.
It says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those
Hallelujah.
Who long for you saving help always, long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay.
May all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness.
Amen.
May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, "The Lord is great." As for me, the psalmist knows that he is poor and needy and that he needs God. And then says, "But the Lord is thinking about me right now. You are my helper and my savior. Do not delay, oh my God." So seeking the Lord, you know, may you be filled with joy and gladness. May you not only seek the Lord when things are going wrong and trying to use our Lord and Savior as a Jesus in a bottle, genie in a bottle. Because we do have people like that. They really only want to be sincere when things are tough. But when things are going well, it's all, "Look at me, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, you know. Me, 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 me." And so I'm thankful that the Lord is thinking about me right now, because I know I need him. I need him every day, every hour.
It's good for us to identify with verse 17, where it says, "As for me, since I am poor and needy, let the Lord keep me in his thoughts."
Amen.
And you are my helper and my savior. And just like Brother Eric was saying, we need to understand that we're in need, and it's not us that's doing it. You know, if you don't have, and Dr. Susie talks about it often, you know, we need to be humble and have a spirit of humility. And this is what God seeks, is for us to understand that we need God, and that our hands don't get too big. Paul said, "Unless I would be exalted above measure, I was given a thorn in the flesh." So we have a problem with big-headedness. And it's important. It's important for us to realize that we are poor and needy. Even if we have money and even if we have resources, we are still poor and needy in many ways. We got anger issues. We got loving issues. We got issues of just getting along with folks. We got backstabbing issues. Amen.
We got lying issues. We got stealing issues. We got talking about each other issues.
Amen. So we're poor and needy in many ways.
When you say big-headed, be grateful.
Be grateful for what we have. Dr. Nuss, when you
said that big-headedness, look, football season is over, but y'all seen that commercial talk about the fat head, those posters, those oversized posters?
Yeah.
Everybody seen those? That's what I think about us. We get so puffed up sometimes that we look like one of those. I mean, you know, they're so big that they don't look right. But we get so big-headed and puffed up about ourselves.
Amen.
It's just unbelievable. And over some of the small stuff, too.
I just wanted to share that scripture, if y'all want to refer back to it. It's Matthew 27:51, when it was talking about the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. 27:51.
Matthew 27:51.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you want to go back to that. Okay. Just wanted to get that before.
Well,
we
actually, I want to move to Matthew 6:31-34.
Okay.
Matthew 6, 31-34.
I've got it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
Matthew 6:31-34, the New Living Translation. Says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. Mm. But tomorrow will bring its own worries.
Mm.
Today's trouble is enough for today."
Mm. Says, "Our God knows all our needs, and he will supply them. He didn't say our wants. He said our needs. And sometimes we forget about that. Our need for justice, our need for mercy, our need for love, our need for understanding, our need for patience, our need for peace, a need to reach out to someone outside of yourself. I was with a guy today, and he shared this story with me that I've never heard before. And I think it's appropriate right here, right now. And it's a short one. So this group of folks have died, and they're trying to determine if they're going to hell or to heaven. And so they go down to hell, and they see this room, and on this table there's this one big pot of food, and there's a bunch of people standing around there with these long spoons, I mean gigantic spoons. And the people look emaciated, they look thin, they look, you know, real bad. And the people's like, well, no, we don't like that. Let's go up in heaven and see what's going on up there. So they get up to heaven, and they walk in this room, and they see room, long table, pot of food in the middle of it. And they see these people, they plump, they happy, you know, they well, robust, and they got these long spoons as well. And the people say, well, what's the difference? They all have these long spoons. Why are this group so, you know, well-fed and the other group so malnourished? They said, because the group downstairs are trying to feed themselves with those long spoons. The people upstairs are feeding each other with the long spoons.
Feeding each other.
Amen.
And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be feeding each other. And this is a platform for us to do this on Tuesday night, but we need to be doing that on our jobs with the people we work with, the people we socialize with the people we come into contact with at the grocery store. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. You know, you having a great day. What's going on with you?
Amen.
We need to be feeding each other and not so much concerned about ourselves and, well, why didn't I get this or why didn't I get that or why don't they do this or why won't my time out for that. We don't need
Amen.
That.
Amen. Amen. And
like, don't worry about
bringing people to the table to be fed. You know?
Yes.
It's not enough that you bring yourself. You need to be looking out for somebody else. Bring them to the table. Have them come and sup and eat God's word. Amen.
I like this text.
Amen, Wall.
Go ahead, Dr. Nook.
Gets to the issue of worry.
Yeah,
and stress. And this is a big problem that we have. We worry so much about tomorrow that we can't appreciate today.
Well,
we have a hard time worshiping God and appreciating what God has already done because we're worrying about tomorrow. And those that have a belief in God and are part of the body of Christ should not have the same kind of worry that folks that don't know anything about God have.
Amen.
This is where
Amen.
We're holding on to our carnal thoughts. And it's how Satan gets us, because we run around doing the same stuff that everybody in the world does. I mean, we don't act any different in many cases. So we got just as much stress on us as people that are not in the church and are not a part of the body of Christ. And this text is saying we shouldn't be doing that.
That's absolutely right. Y'all heard me say this a bunch of times. You know, people outside in the world, they looking at us like, well, if y'all in the church and y'all act like that, I don't need that. I can do that without
Amen.
Being a part of the church.
Amen.
I can live that way without being a part of the church. They looking at us like, really? So what's different between you and me? Except you telling me you go to church or you a Christian. If you don't act like one.
All right.
Amen.
People in the street know what a Christian should act like and look like. Just because they're not one don't mean they don't know. And they're looking at us like, you act just like the rest of these folks out here. There ain't nothing special about
Eric,
you or different about you.
I just want to highlight something that you're saying that I think is major of importance. You're not just talking about the fact that you're not going to the club. This is beyond club talk. You're talking about becoming self-differentiated in such a way that you walk and talk and the life. The difference is that you don't have to worry if you got an ethic. You don't have to worry if you're going to try to help somebody who's hungry. You don't have to ask the question you're going to try to meet somebody's needs who don't have a way to eat or a way to get their car payment or a way to go to church. Or you're doing something about, it's not just about you. It's about how God is using and working through you. See, Paul said, I'm a new creation. I'm no longer my own.
Yes.
And once we no longer our own, God lives through us. So we become the hands and the feet and the voice and the mouth and the arms of God. And when we're not using ourselves to glorify God, then that's why they're saying it's no different. We're not just talking about not doing a club scene.
Yeah. And, you know, that's true. And the thing is that when we worry, we misrepresent God. When we
have
our level of expectation in God's promises, his word, that he magnified above his name isn't good enough. What we're saying is our situation is greater than our God, and that's impossible. That's an impossibility if our God is who we say he is, right? And the other problem with worrying about tomorrow or even fretting about yesterday is that you fail to focus on today and taking inventory of the blessing and assignment for today. And most people, they fail in life because they fail to focus. They're just all over the place doing a whole lot of nothing. And that's what worrying will make you do. It'll have you looking at everything except what Christ accomplished at Calvary and what God is doing for you today with new grace and new mercy that he gave to you, that's only going to be good for you today.
Amen.
So,
and the funny
amen.
Little,
so,
amen.
Go ahead, Dr. Sue.
I was just saying the fundamental piece of that takes it back to trust and belief, which is what you were talking about earlier, Brother Eric. You know, when all hope is lost, what do you do? And the first thing you do is you got to know that there is a God. But the second thing is you got to seek God and understand and believe that God is going to do what God said God's going to do. Everything that
Absolutely.
We talked about tonight, everything that we learned about tonight, that becomes a part of who we are so that when people see who we are, that the reason why we turn into God, because we let, now, and this is real to think, y'all, we're not perfect. I mean, some of y'all may be perfect on the line. I'm not perfect because I can truly say there are times in my life when I'm stronger and other times when I'm not. And I think every believer has that journey of perfect
Amen.
And imperfect. Even Paul had that journey. And so don't be dismayed when you out there and you fall short. God is saying to you, come back to me. One of the things why David was a man after God's own heart wasn't because David didn't screw up. David was one of the biggest screw-ups there ever was. But he's one of the best examples that people will cite in the Bible, and that's because he fell short. But in falling short, the reason why he was a man after God's own heart is because he did that very thing, Brother Eric, is that he turned directly and went straight to God. He turned away from whatever that sin was and beelined, running as fast
Amen.
As he could. Back to the arms of God. Trusted. Even when he made that mistake and he counted the senses, he said, no, I trust God's mercy over man anytime.
Yep. Let me fall into the hands of God.
Amen.
Well, let me end with this one, and I've already got it, Matthew 9, 18-26. And Jesus was saying this. As Jesus was saying this, a leader of the synagogue came and knelt down before him. My daughter has just died, he said, but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hands upon her. And Jesus and the disciples were going to the official's house. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can only touch his robe, I'll be healed. Jesus turned around and said to her, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's house, he noticed the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. He said, "Go away, for the girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. When the crowd was finally outside, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through all the entire countryside. There are two people that were seeking Jesus for a specific thing in their lives, and it was fulfilled because they sought the Master. They knew that he was the Master, and they sought him for their healing. And we should be likewise. We should know that there is a God and know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we may be saved and have everlasting life. And we should seek the Lord at every turn, with every breath, every thought that we have. And when we realize that we aren't seeking the Lord, we need to be as David. We need to turn and make a beeline back to the Lord. With that, Dr. Souza, I'll turn it back to you.
Excellent, excellent study, Brother Eric. Thank you so much. I praise the Lord for having you be strong enough to lead us in Bible study tonight. It was awesome, as always. I'd like to ask those of you who are on the line tonight, you know, we're talking about when all hope is lost, what do? And many of us have been in situations where we had to turn to God. So I'm asking, are there any praise reports on the line tonight to talk about how good God has been, how when you needed God, you turned to God and God came through? Brother Lester, I know you always got a story.
Well, I mean, the good news is that a concept that you guys were praying about last week is in the process of being executed, so that's a good thing. I'm also out here in San Diego with my sweetheart on Valentine's Day and in the sun.
Yay.
In San Diego and not in the snow in Indy. So praise the Lord.
Vanessa, happy Valentine's Day. Amen, Brother Eric.
Yeah, you know, I share with Dr. Sue today, I'm having some health issues and they're running some tests and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just claiming that what they think may be there is not there as it was back in November when they thought I had cancer and I did not. Those tests came back negative on that. And so I'm just claiming that this situation with this spine, that God is going to do what God does and all will be well, because that's where my trust and hope is. I got to use doctors and man to kind of get an idea of what the situation is. But once I know that, then I can be specific in asking God to touch this body that belongs to him that he redeemed through Jesus Christ's
Amen.
Blood.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Britt, I hear you there. You got a testimony for us, a praise report.
Well, I'm thankful that God has kept me through everything to be here at the time when I'm needed the most. I don't know how many people on the Bible study knows, but the other day my son was held up at gunpoint, and he had a bailout of his car. Going about 40 miles an hour, so he broke his arm real bad. They got to do surgery on it. That's going to cost about $17,000. We don't know where the money's coming from, but I'm trusting in God. He broke two teeth. He's got scrapes and cuts to his face. After he bailed out of the car, he was about a block from his house, but the gunman went to his house and they broke in, and my daughter-in-law was there, and they were looking for money that nobody knows where this money supposed to be at. Just so happens, my son's got three Rottweilers, and the oldest one came through the plate glass window in the kitchen. And that's when everybody, the two guys hit the door. And so the police are still looking for him. But I'm just thankful that nobody got killed. It came close. I've been over there for the last couple of days. I just walked in the door here a minute ago. So I am so thankful for God keeping me so that I could be here to be a blessing to them during this time. So just lift them up in prayer. But I can tell you that God's been good to me. Things that were hurting before don't hurt anymore. Arthritis seems to have taken a step or two back.
Amen.
And I got up early this morning and start working on their door. And so I repaired the door and the frame and everything. So I got that done today. So they're back in a safe house, and we got metal strips up so that the wood won't split and nobody can get back in. But I'm just so thankful that God just allowed me to be here.
Amen. Is there anyone else on the line who would like to do a praise report? We see that James is there. There's another 918-638-4477 number, another there. Anybody who would like to have anything else to say? You don't have to, so don't feel like you're on Front Street. I'm just asking if you want to talk, you can. Other than that, we're going to move on for the night and close. We just want to thank God. Are there any prayer concerns? I ask for prayer that you would be in the process of praying now as we speak.
But I don't need it now. I'm not.
Someone talking?
Yes.
Put your phone on mute.
I'm thankful for my mother coming to save me. I had a project due last week, and I was needing desperate help, and without her help, I couldn't until she came all the way, while it was snowing and things like that, from Louisville, and I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So, if y'all forgive me, I'm going to put you guys on mute, so we don't hear the background noise.
I'd like to know how to do that. I have both of them.
Okay. I don't know who. I can't seem to catch who's. There we go. I was able to get it. Are there any more praise reports or prayer concerns? Oh, we need to ask prayer for Mark Bryant. Brother Bryant, is anybody able to lift a prayer for Brother Bryant? Lester, do you have a report?
Oh, yeah. I talked to Mark today. He's doing great. He feels much better. And things are really coming along well.
Amen. So let's continue to lift him up and be in prayer for him. And I'm asking for prayer for vocation and ministry. We ask for prayers for those people who have businesses, that God will continue to bless them. We're asking for health for Brother Eric, and that God will do what God does best in all of our lives and help us. I pray for health as well. The people in my office have just been barking and coughing and come to work sick as a dog, and so I've been fighting the very thing that they brought to work. So I'm asking that you pray for me and pray that James doesn't get sick, because I was down there last weekend. And pray for the Bible study, that we would grow, that we would care enough. See, it's not just enough that we come and we serve one another. And, yes, we do have listeners that we're helping all over the country. But there are people who we could bring to the table to help them dialogue and become familiar with the word, to help be mentors and disciplers of others around us, to help them have the passion that we have for the word. We've been doing this for how many years is now, Brother Eric? This is going on our 12th year?
Yes, 12 years.
And so with
thanks
that,
be
to you know,
God.
We need
12
to,
years.
Amen. We need to evolve and start to bring new blood in. Our brother Lester is going to be teaching class I think it's the, is it next month or the month after that, I think. We'll have to verify that with him, but he's going to be one of our new teachers, bringing his perspective and his dialogue and his way. So we're adding people to the list because we want all voices to be heard. We want us to grow and to be challenged. And that's what we do when we come here. We are challenged, and we're here because none of us have the exact same understandings on what it is that we see. But we come to the table to dialogue, to hear God's word, and to trust God to give us what we need to grow and be successful in our daily lives. So with that ado, Dr. Nooks, if there's no one else who has any prayer concerns or praise reports, would you take us to the Lord? Oh, wait, wait.
God, we
Dr.
thank
Nooks,
you
I'm
for
sorry.
Your presence.
Dr. Nooks, let me interrupt you. One more thing. There was a request because people are listening to the tape, they asked for the scriptures for next week. So next week, our theme will be acting in faith as it relates to when all hope is lost, what do you do? One, you know that there's a God. Two, you seek the Lord. Three, you act in faith. And we'll be reading Psalms 118, 8 through 9, Matthew 9, 18 through 20, Mark 1, 40 through 44, Mark 2, 1 through 12, and Mark 7, 24 through 30. May God's blessings be with you. Go ahead, Dr. Nix. Thank you.
Amen.
God, we thank you for tonight, for your Bible study, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that participated. And God, when we have our backs against the wall and we're underwater, we're so grateful that we've learned to lean and depend on you. When all hope is lost, we can call on you because we know you. And you can make a way. And God, we lift up so many that have concerns tonight. We lift up Eric in a special way, asking you to touch his body. And we pray that the test will come out negative, that he will have health. And we give that over to you. We pray for Dr. Susie, that she will find ministry opportunities and vocations. We pray for Mark Bryant, that he will be healed, and we are grateful and excited about him feeling better. God, we lift up businesses to you and pray for new contracts. We pray that James doesn't get sick, and we pray for the Bible study in a special way. And God, we're excited about what you're doing right now in our lives and how you've made a way. And we pray that you would just continue to walk with us and strengthen us. We pray that we can somehow be touched by you, God, in a way that we can touch others. And that we can be used as ambassadors of Christ, of reconciliation, to say the right thing, to do the right thing, to be used by you in such a way that people can see Christ in us. God, forgive us for the wrongs that we do, and help us, God, to be examples for somebody else. We need you, and we ask a special blessing upon Dr. Susie as she leads us. Care for her and comfort her, even on the job while others are sick, God, protect her. We thank you for all that you are, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.